Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the NWAC South Fast Break Show. We do this show now permanently every Monday night at 9:30 Pacific Time, our new time. And glad to have you as a listener. If you can't listen live, you can always listen to the podcast at www.blogtalkradio.com. Just punch in NWAC South Fast Break Show, and it'll give you every show we've ever done. Before we get started, I also want to mention, speaking of shows, this guy puts on a great show every time he does it. Brant Miner's got another great showcase coming up at the Eastmoreland Courts on April 10th. You need to go to Max Hoops to check it out. They've got some tremendous coaches that are going to appear there and help with the young people, and it's really good. He does a great job with those. So maxhoops.com, maxhoops.com, and you better get there if you're a basketball player or want to be one or want to get better. But speaking of basketball, let's go to our coaches, who are four great coaches, four great human beings on this show, and we always lead it off with Trevor Hopp, the outstanding coach at Southwestern Oregon Community College. Trevor, how are you this evening?
I'm really great, Greg. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. Trevor, what's going on right now? Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with your team and what's going to transpire in the next week or two. I think our listeners would enjoy that.
Sure. You know, we've been taking time, having some individual meetings, you know, talking about academics, getting our guys registered for the spring term, and really focusing on spring, finishing this winter term strong. This is our last week, and then we have finals next week. So, you know, trying to get them to finish the term strong academically. And we've just kind of caught our breath as far as basketball-wise. We've given them a little time off. Although I've still seen guys in the gym and in the weight room, but nothing really required right now. Kind of giving them a little time to heal their bodies a little bit and things like that. And like I said, focus on academics here really the next 2 weeks to finish up this term.
Trevor, you've been involved in this in a long time, successfully for a long time, I might add. What's kind of some of the challenges that young people face in community college when it comes to academics?
Well, you know, it's just it can just be a long year for some people, and really for all of us at times. And so, you know, with the season and you know, our Wednesday night games, and sometimes we get back late on some Wednesdays, and you know, it just becomes a balancing act of budgeting time and managing time. And you know, for most of them, it's a step up in rigor and you know, homework and things like that. So, you know, we got some resources around to help us with some tutors and things like that. You know, we have study hall and you know, lots of people around that want to help them and want to see them succeed. But at the end of the day, you know, each student athlete's got to take ownership of their education and see the importance and see, you know, how the hard work and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot like the court, you know, we stress that hard work and competition that goes a long way in the classroom also, not just on the court. So those are some of the things.
Very good. Trevor, your season is over basketball wise, and that's the same for, sadly, for all the coaches on the program. They gave us a lot of thrills this year, but I think our listeners would, and we got a lot of listeners moving to Monday night. I love this. I think they'd kind of like to know, what's maybe one thing that you learned, and I know this might be difficult to start this question out with you. It's a little unfair. Everybody else gets to listen to your answer, but what's one thing maybe you learned this year in the basketball side that was really important, you know, or maybe something you didn't know before, basketball-wise, that you learned?
Well, you know, I think I realized this, and I think we all know the importance of it, but I think we saw it a few times. You know, just just end of game situations, and you know, you can't predict them, you can't write a script on how they're going to go. But I think just handling end of game situations, whether it's up or down or no timeouts and you know, things like that, and just being prepared. You can never, I think, be too prepared for those type of things. But like I said, the hard part is preparing for it and not knowing what's going to happen. So it's just the unpredictability and things like that. But, you know, how you're just going to handle adversity and tough things at the end of games, and, you know, whether you're up or down, I think that's, you can always learn and grow on some of those things.
I think everybody treats things different, but when the basketball season ends, what's kind of your personal reaction? Do you want to get right back at it, or do you need a little recharge? I think either one is fair.
You know, I miss it already. I mean, I've been watching March Madness like crazy and just catching up on a lot of games, which I think has been fun. But you know, the guys, their bodies are worn down and mentally worn down, and probably as coaches were worn down too. So, you know, a little breather is also a good thing. But you know, it's just I just love being out there with the guys and working with them and seeing improvement and just trying to help them out and things like that. And so, gosh, I can kind of go both ways, but I think I've taken a little breather, but from kind of my team, but still watching a lot of hoops and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think just listening to you there, I've always felt this, especially in the NWAC community college level. A basketball coach is a little bit demeaning to label all you as basketball coaches. You're all teachers. You're all good listeners. You're all advisors, and you got to be that in this day and age to help young people.
Yeah, well, thanks for that, saying that. And you know, there's a lot of things, and I would throw mentor in there and things like that. And just, you know, you got to care about young people and want to help them. And you know, that's, what I think all of us do, and it's important to us, and that's kind of maybe why we had this calling to get into this. So, you know, it's a great business. Don't know what else I would ever be doing. So, you know, it's fun.
Very good, Trevor. Great start to the program tonight, as always, and we'll catch up with you next Monday night at 9:30 Pacific time for our new time. It's exciting. And hopefully we made a good move by the initial reports we did. So way to go, and I appreciate all you guys changing.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And, yeah, happy to be here. And the new time, hopefully it will work out well. And so it's great. Thanks a lot.
You betcha. That's Trevor Hopp, the outstanding coach of Southwestern Oregon Community College. Now let's swing over to beautiful Eugene, Oregon, and talk to Bruce Chopka, the head men's coach at Lane Community College. And, Bruce, you were in the NWAC championship playoff, and you had a tough game. That's no way better to describe it.
Yeah, we were pretty great. We were very grateful that we made it, and that's a great way to describe it. It was a tough game, and, you know, we ended up losing by two at Highline, but guys battle like crazy. Had a couple buddies that were at the game and talked to them after the game, and they were like, wow, that was just a fun game to be at. And it was just a fun game to coach too. That was a pretty good, you know, atmosphere and up and down and this and that. And so it was a fun, challenging game, and it could have went either way. I mean, it was in the balance there we got fouled with, our big fella went to the line, I think, 0.3 seconds left with a chance to tie it, to take it into overtime, and missed his first free throw, and then we intentionally missed the second one. But right down to the wire, fun game to be a part of, so grateful all the way around. I wish, you know, we could have won it, but it's the way the ball bounces, so here we are.
And when you say here we are, what's up next in the next week or so for you and your team?
You know, lots of sleep for me. You know, I listened to your conversation with Trevor, and, you know, I'm definitely a recharge guy. I want to step away and sort of take a deep breath and analyze some things and think about some things and, you know, try to put some thoughts on paper to maybe try to improve, you know, my coaching and teaching and all that stuff. You know, the guys have finals a week from today, so they're, you know, obviously doing their part in the classroom and that kind of thing. And then spring break, I believe, is the following weekend. So not much going on team-wise, just studying academics, that kind of thing. I mean, we're all going to exhale and take a deep breath and, you know, reflect and try to figure out what's next. You know, I think every coach wants to do some self-evaluation and then obviously, the season of recruiting has already started, so pick that up at full bore and have visits and all that fun stuff. So, got to get players, so that's about it.
Bruce, do you think that maybe an area that sometimes all people in college, not just athletes, struggle with academics, are we kind of turning the corner on that with there's more resources at times and people are realizing, hey, you're not going to survive out in the real world without a great college education for the most part.
No, I think that's always been the case. You know, I remember when I played, it was preached and taught to me and ground into me by my coaches and my mentors and my parents and family and that kind of thing. I think, you know, I mean, It's in my opinion, the only way to go, to get an education and make something of yourself and pursue your profession and your goals. So I think, you know, it's no different than 20, 30 years ago. I think people realize the power of education and you got to have the skills and the experience and all that stuff to be able to get a good job and all that good stuff. So I think it's emphasized by teachers and mentors educators and all that fun stuff more than ever, but I think it's always been something that's always been preached and taught and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Bruce, same question for you that I'm going to ask everybody tonight. You know, maybe something that our listeners would enjoy hearing from you that you learned this year that maybe you didn't know before or something that you really have to think about and said, wow, that happened. Unbelievable.
Well, you know, one thing on a funny note is we named all of our we had offensive sets that we named after Pac-12 schools, and we had one called OSU and ASU. So I learned, my assistant learned that we can't do that in the future, that we have to be a little more descriptive or have more of a different name kind of thing. So there was times where half the team was running ASU and the other half was running OSU, which was a funny deal. But I figured this season reemphasized you got to have good players. You know, that makes a huge difference. It's all about the Jimmys and the Joes, not the X's and O's kind of thing. I think you have to. One thing it reemphasized to me this year also is two things. Is one, you have to constantly work on team chemistry. I think winning is the best deodorant, maybe not the best deodorant, but it is a deodorant and it hides a lot of things. So I think, you know, team chemistry, winning or losing, is important, and you got to foster that continuously. And the other thing that this year did for me is it reemphasized defending and rebounding and competing. You got to have that competitive spirit all the time. You want to recruit guys that have that just naturally and innate in them. Sometimes that's not always the case. You think a guy might have it, but maybe he doesn't over the long course of a season. And defending and rebounding, man, those are the things that, you know, that those are things that, you know, that are so important in trying to get stops and rebound. Toughness matters, you know, toughness matters. And you got to be have players that make do the tough man stuff for you. So just reemphasize that again for me. You know, our season just ended on Saturday. There'll be, you know, next 3 or 4 days I'll be able to think more about our season and reflect and that kind of thing. But it was a fun year and really loved our guys this year. It was a good time.
Yeah, I loved hearing you talk about it, and you did a great job. And we're out of time, Bruce, but I got to tell you one thing. I'm going to give you a little tip here, okay? You know, I'm good at that. Next year, name all your plays. There's 8 opposing coaches in the NWAC South. Name them after the other coaches, because then that'll throw them off. They'll think you're yelling at them when you call out a play.
You know, I might have to do that. That's wisdom right there. That's good stuff. That's good.
Hey,
stuff.
Run a Bronner.
I'm going to do that. Yeah, run a Hawk.
Run a Wagner.
Yeah, I could put a little cuss word before each play or each time I call a coach the name. That'd be even better. That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
Well, thank you. That's Monday night, Bruce. Thank you very much.
That's thanks for
Bruce
having me. Have a good week.
The Headman's Coach at Lane Community College. Now let's swing up to beautiful Portland, Oregon, talk to Tony Broaddus, the Headman's Coach at Clackamas at Portland Community College. I'm thinking of jumping ahead here, but Tony, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good, Greg. Glad to be on. How are you?
Not bad, thank you. Have you ever had a play named after you, Tony?
No, not that I know of, unless my brother may have named one of his worst plays after me. That'd be something he would do.
And speaking of your brother, pretty darn good year for your brother, if you want to talk about that for a second.
No doubt about it. I'm real proud of him and his team. They went to Coos Bay as the number one team out of their conference and advanced to the state championship game against St. Mary's out of Medford. And it was a heck of a ball game, but they came up short. Came up short in the championship game, which, hey, when you look at it, that's not a bad accomplishment at all. Second place in state. I'm real proud of the De La Salle North Catholic Knights.
Yeah, very good. He's a terrific coach like yourself, and way to go. Tony, what's on the agenda at Portland Community College the next week or two? And throw in as well the question I had, are you a guy that can hardly wait to get started next year, or do you need a little recharge?
Those are some good questions. Well, we are getting set to do our banquet, end of the year team banquet, which is always fun. And then we'll, you know, try to finish up some recruiting a little bit. But to answer your question, I'm the type of coach who does need a break. About this time, you know, after the All-Star game, and I'll be co-coaching one of the All-Star teams on Thursday night in Everett. But and then I'll watch some of the tournament. But after that, you know, I'm going to sit back, kick back, and relax just a little bit, kind of recharge my batteries, and then get back after it. Get in shape a little bit, work on my basketball game, and then get prepared for my softball season. So you can talk to me when I'm out there increasing my home run percentage this year.
Are we already back with that home runs again? This basketball season goes way too quick, I'm telling you. Way, way too quick, yeah. Hey, Tony, let me ask you, you know, one thing about all of you that makes all of you on this program great coaches is you're always talking about learning, developing new things. Was there something you learned this year coaching that maybe you didn't know before, or something that popped up that you now got to concentrate on?
Yeah. You know, if I had to pick one thing, there was quite a few. But the most important thing I kind of had to remember the hard way is the importance of outside shooting and the importance of just having a guy or two on your bench who at any time can come in and be a major weapon from the three-point line. You know, and all my successful teams, I've had that guy, if not one, if not two or three, at least one, that if teams go zone, you're like, okay, come on in, Jamal or whoever. And there he goes, and your team believes in him, and the ball swings to him, and pow, you know, that could really crucial. That's just crucial in trying to win a league when you're playing at the tougher teams that we're playing every night. And then especially when you get in tournament play, the three-point threat is just so valuable. And I didn't recruit it like I should have. I really forgot it and then thought maybe I thought that we had it in a certain area, but that's something I'll never get caught handcuffed again with, that's for sure.
And with that said, we've all discussed on the program, shooting is somewhat of a lost art, although there's good shooters out there. To find them is another question. It takes a lot of work to recruit them.
Well, you know, it is, and it's funny, though, because when I first was coming into the position, I met with a couple coaches that were veteran coaches, not in our league. And one of the things they told me, they were, you know, shooters, you can find shooters everywhere, coach. You got to find talent. And I was like, okay. And, you know, I don't know if I actually went with that strategy or not, because I've always had some pretty good shooters. But I don't think that's true, man. I think shooters, like you're saying, you got to find them. The real big-time shooters, I'm not seeing them like they used to be.
And, you know, Tony, to parlay on what you said, I probably have had about 7 parents, and I'm not the expert, but they know I know a lot of experts. They're all asking me, hey, I got to find a shooting coach for my son or daughter. You know, it's few and far between in a lot of cases. Now, there are teams that can shoot the lights out, but they have other deficiencies. But, boy, that shooting, I hope it comes back here real quick.
Well, I think with the success Steph Curry's having, I think it's going to, you know, guys are seeing it and they're looking at the form, the technique, the release, all of those crucial things that make a good shooter. And I'm convinced that shooting will come back around because, you know, everybody can shoot, but not everybody can do all the Michael Jordan, LeBron stuff. But if you get your technique down, what a valuable weapon you can be from the outside.
Very much so. Hey, Tony, good luck up there coaching the All-Stars at Everett. And we'll talk to you again next Monday night. Thanks for going to our new time.
All right. Take care.
You betcha. That's Tony Broaddus, the Edmonds coach of Portland Community College. Now we're going to close out the program with Cliff Wagner, the head men's coach at Clackamas Community College, who just completed his 40th year of coaching college basketball. I don't particularly relish saying that, Cliff, but it's factual, and I know, are you a guy that can hardly wait to get ready, or you need a little recharge?
Well, actually, the facts are, it's not my 40th year of college basketball, it's my 40th year of coaching basketball. I did just complete my 23rd year of coaching college basketball, though, so I guess once it gets up there, be a couple of decades, the next level, just round it off. But as far as time off, I don't need time away from basketball. I feel like I love basketball as much as anyone I know. So I'm actually looking forward to getting out this week and seeing the high school tournaments and reconnecting with some of my friends coaching high school basketball and seeing some good teams play and, again, watching coaches coach their teams. So I'm looking forward to that part. But we are about to wind up our experience this season with this year's team. We, of course, played Friday night or Saturday night and lost a tough ball game at home, and that ended our season. So we're just in the process of wrapping it up with some team meetings and a team get-together tomorrow and some individual meetings this week. So that's what we're doing right now. Basketball goes on, but unfortunately our season ended Saturday.
Yeah, sadly, and sorry about that. I always mix that up when I said college. I know better because I know you were a great high school coach, and I'll throw that in as well. But, Cliff, what's kind of a message you send to players? You had a lot of heartache after that game, your players, and I know obviously yourself, but after you've had a couple days to reflect, what's the message to your players?
Well, the message when we met today was, you know, congratulations on your accomplishments. We congratulated our sophomores for 2 really good years here, winning a league title, a league runner-up, qualifying for the tournament both their seasons here, doing an outstanding job academically, because our sophomores have really done a great job. Three of our four sophomores have achieved NWAC scholar athlete status of 3.3 GPA or above. One of our sophomores, Garrett Literal, has a 3.98 GPA and has a chance to be the scholar athlete for the entire NWAC. We congratulated him on extending our string of successful seasons and top three finishes at Clackamas and qualifications for the tournament. And then we had a candid conversation about some of the things that we didn't do very well and some of the things that we hope we could change for the future and to accept those things and learn from them and move forward. So that was today's conversation. It was an opportunity to teach and learn today, and it was a nice meeting.
Cliff, you know, I'll get it right this time, 40 years of coaching basketball, tremendous years for you, and you, I know you've enjoyed every one of them. Something maybe you picked up this year or learned that you didn't know before, or something unique that maybe our listeners would enjoy hearing from you with your expertise?
Not really a new thing, but something that I felt like was really underscored this year was the importance of team chemistry. We felt like we recruited a very deep and talented team, and we had depth at positions, and we felt like we had all the pieces of the puzzle, but we weren't able to jam the pieces together into a consistent, workable unit. And there were times when we played like the best team in the NWAC, and I honestly feel like we could have beaten anybody on the NWAC on certain given nights. But we never were consistent, and our consistency and our lack of chemistry with how we played for the entire season with the 12-man roster over the entire 30-some games, it was just never quite there. And it just reemphasized to me how critical that is. And Brian and I have been talking about some things to develop that a little better next year. So you go back to the drawing board. But that's something that was really underscored to me. I know Bruce talked about it a little earlier with his team, but we had some of those issues with our team as well.
Oh, we've talked a little bit about shooting tonight, Cliff. Your thoughts on that? I know every team is different. You had some outstanding shooters this year. Sometimes they didn't shoot the ball as well as others. That's a game of basketball, but shooting, obviously, a huge part of the game, especially with the three-point line. And now Damian Lillard's lobbying for a four-point line in all of basketball.
Well, you know, shooting is something I've spent a great deal of my career studying and teaching and learning. And when I first started coaching, that was the one thing I decided I was going to try to become expert on was shooting. And so I've spent so much time over the years attending the best speakers that I know of about shooting and books and coaches, personal kind of inquiries and so forth. And so we spend a lot of time shooting, and we teach shooting fundamentally, and we teach shooting a lot of different ways. We spend a lot of time shooting the basketball, and we recruit kids that we think are pretty good shooters to begin with, and then we start really working with them about shot selection and balance and alignment. And you can make good shooters better. You can help them become great shooters if they really want to spend the time and put in the gym and do what they need to do to get the repetitions. But shooting is actually one of the easiest skills to improve. It's something you don't need five other guys to do. You can go out and work on it yourself. And if you do that, you will get to be a better shooter. The problem is with kids today, I think, is they spend a lot more time playing games and a lot less time working on these fundamentals. So that's some of my thoughts on shooting.
Very good. We need to capture that and play it all around the country, what you just said about shooting and improving. Excellent, Cliff. We'll talk to you again next Monday night, or on Sunday night show, and then on Monday night. And we'll catch you at a game this week, obviously, for sure.
Thanks, Greg. I look forward to getting out and probably running into you at some state tournaments this week. And thanks again for the show and all you do for NWAC college basketball.
Well, I couldn't do it without all you guys who are fabulous, cooperative, and everything. Thank you for that. Good night, listeners, and don't forget to make your free throws.